I dare say over the past few months, ladies, you've been, well, ladies will have been over the last few months, and men over the last couple of days, we've probably been scouring the malls, trying to find that that perfect gift for our loved ones. You know, some of us probably started yesterday. I was at the supermarket a little bit earlier, and I was going, I've got this sneaking suspicion as to what Tone's got me for Christmas this year, and I reckon I'm about 99% right. I don't know for sure, but I reckon I'm about 99% right. And then I know what I've got her, and it just doesn't quite match up. So, and when I was in the mall, I thought I'll have a quick look around to try and make it so it's a little bit equal, and not like me being spoilt rotten and her getting pittance. So I've been trying to do that. But you notice how it's, you're going at Christmas time, you're looking for gifts. You're looking for gifts for your loved ones. You're looking for something to buy those people that you care about. You spend hours, you look through malls, you check on catalogues. You go, oh, I'll check online to see if I can get it a little cheaper. And you're searching for just the right gift for the people that we love. And then when the time comes, we sit there and we sit back and we're really interested in their facial expressions as they open the present to see whether it's really hit the mark or whether it's really been not quite that good. And we try and gauge their faces. Has anyone ever given a gift? And when they've opened the gift, you know, you thought they would really love it. And then when they've opened the gift, you're like, no, I know I have missed it by a mile. We had this person that worked at Brelin. She tells her husband what to buy her. Because he said one year he took this, I don't even know what it was, like a wheelbarrow, I think it might have been, like took a family heirloom wheelbarrow that was in their household for generations and she absolutely loved it. It was this old, rustic, rusted, old, daggy looking thing, but because it had been in the family for so long, she absolutely loved it. Well, the husband thought it would be great to go and get it fixed up, get rid of all the rust, paint something on it in a decorative fashion, and say, there's your Christmas gift. Well, who knows, when she opened that gift, there was not tears of joy. She was absolutely ticked off that he'd done that. But I remember I've opened many a gift over my time, and I've given many a gift. I'm not a real good gift giver. That's not my love language. I know Tone's a gift giver, so I'm lucky because I'm the receiver of the gifts. But she's a real good gift giver. And I remember one year giving a gift. I won't say who it was to because she's in the room. But I remember giving this gift one year. And I'd spent hours figuring out what I was going to give. And I thought, yep, she's absolutely going to love this. Back in the day, there was one store in town that this person, my sister, liked. So I went there and got this gift. And then lo and behold, I go to a house. And the gift that I gave her that I thought was great was just sitting beside the toilet. I thought, oh, it was Mum. That's right, it was Mum. I thought, yeah, this would be great. She'll love this. She'll put pegs or something in it. You know, there'll be some use for it. Well, the use was to hold the empty toilet rolls after they've been used on the toilet. No use at all. So sometimes gifts are good, and sometimes gifts just miss the mark. Well, there's one thing that makes Christmas so wonderful, is that it's a celebration of the fact that our Heavenly Father, the giver of every good gift and perfect gift, thinks about you and me in the same way. It says in John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. You see, today I want us to understand that in giving his son, God gave us the perfect Christmas gift. So this evening, I want us to think about what are the requirements of a perfect gift. What do we have to look for? And what are the conditions of something to make a perfect gift? So I've got 3 points about what makes a perfect gift. And point one is a perfect gift must be personal. You see, in other words, it has to be aimed at a specific person. Like when we love someone, we don't go out and just buy them anything. Tone's dad's a funny bloke. I'm always laughing at him. Well, it was Tone's mum's birthday at the start of the year. And he was saying, I'm listening to this conversation between Tone and her dad. And he's saying, what should we get mum for her birthday? And Tone's saying, oh, I don't really know. He's like, I've got the perfect gift. I've got the perfect gift that we can give her. She's getting really, really ticked off at all of my business paperwork in the bedroom. So how about we buy her a filing cabinet? Because she'll really, really love that. You know, but it has to be a gift that is for a specific person. It's not for the giver's benefit. It's for the person receiving its benefit. You see, we love someone, we don't go out and just buy them anything. No, we think and we search for something that is aimed to them, that is unique to them and meets a need that you think they're going to have. I remember as about a 10-year-old boy, hindsight's a great thing because I reckon mum really got me on slave labour here. But there was this one time where when we would buy gifts for our siblings and we would open them on Christmas Eve. And my sister was, she was obviously 9 if I was 8 or 10, whatever, about that age. And she was getting into calligraphy. So I said, Mum, if I work for you, can I buy her this gold calligraphy pen? And the gold calligraphy pen, it was $6.99. And I remember working for Mum for weeks. Weeks and weeks and weeks. Make my bed, clean my room, mow the lawn. Whatever was asked, I would do it. So I could go and buy this $6.99. Like, only hindsight tells me that it was $6.99. At the time, I thought it must have been worth $100, the amount of work I was doing. But I wanted to go and buy this gift because I knew that she would love it. I reckon it lasted all but 5 minutes. But we give gifts that are unique to that person. And why? Because we love them. We have a great time receiving gifts when they're given, and you know that they're given lovingly by someone who has each of us in mind. You see, this made this gift a perfect gift because it was personal. Well, when God sent his son into the world, when he gave us Jesus, he had you and I in mind. Do you remember what the angel said to the shepherds that night in Luke 2, verse 11? It says, then he proclaimed, the Saviour, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, he is born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. The glorious news of Christmas is that an angel said, Jesus came for you, for everyone, for each of you. He came. He was given with us as individuals in mind. Max Licardo, he writes this, if God had a calendar, it's very corny, but it portrays my message. If God had a calendar, your birthday would be circled. If he drove a car, your name would be on his bumper. If there's a tree in heaven, he's carved your name in the bark. We know he has a tattoo, and what it says in Isaiah 49:16, it says, I've written your name on my hand. The Bible tells us that God even knows the number of hairs that are on our heads. All this shows that when he gave us the gift of his only son, he did so with each of us as individuals in mind. So the point one, a gift needs to be personal. Point two, a perfect gift has to meet a specific need. Like I know tomorrow I'll probably get some underpants, I'll probably get some socks, and I'll probably get a t-shirt. I could probably bet my house on it. Why? Because they meet a specific need. Underpants have a use-by date, I feel, of about 12 months. Socks are about the same. And if you don't wash them, you won't get 12 months out of them. But I know my loved ones, They know this and they'll provide for my needs and they give me gifts like this each Christmas. Well, in sending Jesus into the world, God was meeting our needs. He knew that as sinners, we needed forgiveness. As sinners lost, we needed saving. This is what the angel told Joseph in Matthew 1 verse 21. He said, "She, Mary, will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." So as Paul wrote to young Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:15, he says that he that deserves full acceptance of Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. If our greatest need was for information, God would have sent an educator. If our greatest need was for technology, God would have sent a scientist. If our greatest need was for pleasure, God would have sent an entertainer. If our greatest need was for money, God would have sent an economist. But since our greatest need is for forgiveness, God sent a savior. When God gave us his son, he did have our deepest needs in mind. In Romans it says, "All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You see, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus." So a perfect gift, a perfect gift needs to be personal. It needs to meet a specific need. And the last one tonight, a perfect gift must be sacrificial. To really convey love to the receiver, a gift must cost the giver something. I remember a couple of years ago, I was a little bit broke. And it was coming up to Tone's birthday. And Tone's birthday is at a sucky time. Like, her birthday is about a week after Christmas. And who knows, a week after Christmas, you don't have a lot of money in the bank. So what I did, I thought it'd be a really brilliant idea. She hasn't checked it in yet. I'm still waiting. I wrote her this up, this nice note saying, "For use, airfares, accommodation to Fiji, cash in as desired," something like that. Still waiting for her to cash them in. That gift didn't cost me anything. It cost me 20 seconds of my time to write on a piece of paper. Didn't cost me anything, but a perfect gift must cost me something. The more it costs, the more sacrificed a gift is, the more love that conveys. And by cost, I don't necessarily mean financial cost. Because if you've got no money and you go out and it costs you all you've got, you're sacrificing. The principle of giving is seen in this famous short story entitled The Gift of Maggie. The story it tells of a young couple who are so poor that they cannot afford to buy each other gifts for Christmas. But each finds a way to sacrifice so they can purchase a gift their spouse needs. The husband sells his most precious possession, his pocket watch, and he uses the money to buy a beautiful comb for his wife's lovely long hair. But unbeknownst to him, she cuts and sells her lovely hair to a wig maker and uses the money to buy a beautiful watch chain for her husband's pocket watch. They both sacrificed so that they could give a special gift to each other. Well, when God gave his only son, he broke the record when it comes to sacrificial giving. For no one has ever paid more for a gift than God did. When he gave his only son to pay for our sins. It says in John 1 verse 2 and 2, "The atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for our sins, but also for the sins of the world." There is a reason why Christmas has the word Christ in it. The greatest, most perfect gift for all is Christ. Receiving this free gift changes everything. And this gift is and always will be the greatest gift of all. Christmas is a time of giving. And I found it to be true that it's more blessed to give than receive. But if you're like me, I can't wait to open my gift tomorrow. I won't say what it is because I know what it is. She doesn't think I do, but I do. I can't wait to open that tomorrow because I know it's a good gift. When you get something from someone, when you see the joy on someone's face, when he or she receives what you've purchased for them. The wise men, they brought gifts to Jesus. Gold, frankincense and myrrh. What kind of gifts are these for a child? Myrrh, after all, is an embalming element. Why give an embalming element to a baby? I believe these wise men had insight into who Jesus was. They gave him gold because they recognized it was a proper gift for a king. They gave him frankincense because that is what a high priest used when he went into the temple to represent the people before God. And they gave him myrrh because they recognized that this king would die for the world. When you think about the real meaning of Christmas, it is essentially the birthday of Jesus, the day where the Savior of the world was born. Even so, often Jesus gets shut out during Christmas. Imagine I planned a party for you and invited all your friends. Everyone brings lots of gifts and the invitees trade presents with one another and you get nothing. What can we give to God? What do you give to God who has everything? What does God want from us? Actually, Jesus doesn't have everything. There are four things he doesn't have unless you give them to him this Christmas. Would you give him your trust? Faith is a voluntary matter. Jesus doesn't have your trust unless you give it to him. He will never force it. Make Jesus first place in your life. He wants our lives. The greatest gift you can give to God this year is yourself. The greatest gift you can give to God is to say, Lord, I give you my life. I give you my talents. I give you my abilities. I give you my dreams. I give you my future. I give you my weaknesses. I offer myself to you. Here is my gift to you. Give Jesus your heart. Your heart is what you love, what you value, what you care about most. Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. One more, one important way you can give Jesus your heart this Christmas is by giving your resources to his work. Jesus doesn't need your money, but he wants what it represents, your heart. Bring other people to Jesus. God wants a family more than anything else this Christmas. He wants children to choose to love and trust him. It is the reason we celebrate Christmas. Invite someone to Jesus this Christmas. Tell someone about what Jesus has done in your life. There's no refuting that. The Bible tells us that the wise men didn't give Jesus their leftovers when they visit him on their first Christmas, but instead gave three very significant and valuable gifts. They bowed down, they worshipped him, they opened their gifts, and they gave him treasures of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. As you give Jesus your trust, as you make him first in your life, give what you value to his work and bring other people to him, you're giving him gifts far more valuable than the ones the wise men brought. So tell Jesus, happy birthday this Christmas. Give him your best. Let's be like the wise men and worship him and give to him. You'll be glad you did because you can never outgive to God. Heavenly Father, we thank you that this Christmas, you are the perfect gift. And you came for every person. We pray that people would recognize that you are the perfect gift. We pray that this Christmas you'll encourage us to put our trust in you, to make you first in our life. Help us to value what you value and run after that. And give us the courage to allow people to experience who you really are this Christmas. Not just know of you, but actually really know you on a personal level. We thank you that you came so freely. You endured what you endured freely, that each would experience your love. This Christmas, will we reflect on what the real meaning of Christmas is? Reflect upon who you really are. In Jesus' name, amen.